NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. It's Monday. That's right. March 11. You might remember, hey, Jim, didn't you say you weren't going to do a show today? And then I went, yes. But I thought I'd throw in a surprise fun one for your Tuesday morning, hanging out with Jim. But mostly it's because, yeah, traffic sucked trying to get home today. So it's just going to be a late one. So what we're going to do today, it's a fun NBA Australia. This is NBA Australia. I am your host, James Clements. You can also hear me on the official AFL Supercoach podcast from my good friends Al Pat and my good friend Tim Mitchell. And we've also got the AFL Today Show with my homies, Alex and Stats Boy. You can also see my ugly mug on Fox Sports Lab NBA. I am in the Patty Mills Nets jersey today because I'm sweating like a priest near a preschool. It's so damn hot! Tell you what, should have done it from the pool. I spent the last 3 days basically in it. Jesus. Anyway, this is episode 1050 of NBA Australia. Here back in a very sweltering Larry Armour Studios. But we just wanted to cover off some stuff. AKA, Patty Mills is a legend. And shredded in his first couple of games for the Heat. Anthony Edwards is still a menace. Anthony Davis is a menace. But what we're going to do today is just weekend winners and losers and a standings breakdown of where we're all at. Because it's a fascinating sort of head into this second week of March with basically a month to go. This is the last month. This is the home stretch. Where's everybody at? What's happening? What are the standings? What does it all mean? We'll do that. And so just that and weekend winners and losers, we might throw in a quick performance of the weekend and spud of the night, and then we'll preview tomorrow's games for you. And that'll be it. Fun one today. Let's get into it. Episode, I believe, 1050 of NBA Australia. That's 1050. That's a lot. So let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Oh, he's gone for the wrong button. Thanks, everybody. I'm back. That's just the pause break for me actually doing a show on a public holiday. But also,
watch out for the shark attack.
That's right. As mentioned, better watch out for the traffic attack. It's a two-hour drive. Took us 2:40 today to get home. That sucked. Especially when screaming squid number two in the car. He's like, I've laid a log in my jocks, and this is horrible. He's still wearing nappies, so it doesn't matter that much, you know what I'm saying? Either way, good long weekend. I spent most of it in a pool, as mentioned. We did do the AFL Today Show yesterday, though, to wrap up round zero, opening round of the AFL. So go check that out. It's now a podcast. You can go listen to it. And, of course, get across that and this one on YouTube, would ya? I don't know so much, but I do ask that. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with a daily. Oh, it's a whip around. That's right. Rudy Gobert is got fined $100,000. If you think that's egregious, you're not wrong. Why was it, Jim? Did he punch a ref? No. He made the money gesture at some refs. Would somebody please think of the children? I'm keeping a very, very, very close eye on the USA, just in general. It sounds silly. But, so the USA doesn't have, legalized gambling across the board. It's a state-by-state thing. Obviously in Australia, and especially obviously in the UK, gambling and sports gambling in particular, you know, it's near and dear to my heart, in no surprise to anybody. It has taken over sport in a way that Americans are very clearly not quite used to and are going to grapple with massively over the next 2 years, I want to say. There's going to be a pretty hefty reckoning because the USA, they don't do things by halves, you know? They're not a very chill people. Australians in the UK, nor are we really, to be honest, just, you know, to paint with a wide brush. But still, stuff like this where you're like, all right, the refs are on the take, and Rudy Gobert's like, Monday, 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 and the refs are like, you can't say that about us, it's about the integrity of the game that we've definitely not bet on and definitely aren't, you know, doing anything untoward. The $100,000 fine, like, there's nothing more ironic than going, hey, you guys are all on the take, give us $100,000 for saying that. Was it a direct deposit into their DraftKings accounts? Jesus. It's like the Refs Association. All right, boys, we've all got an extra $1,000 bonus bet thanks to Rudy today. Yeah, just go put a multi on his performance next game out. Jesus. So that's the sort of stuff I'm talking about. It's going to get very weird. And I think they're going to have to learn a lot from the legislation and everything that both the UK and Australia have had to deal with. It's going to get pretty weird. Other news! Benny Mathurin. This one sucks. Done for the season, getting surgery on his torn labrum. I'll talk about this in winners and losers, but yeah, spoiler alert. India loses for losing one of their best bench scorers, especially after getting rid of Buddy Hield for the simple fact that I don't think they liked Buddy Hield. But anyway, and the other one was Şengün. This is injury season. We've got a month to go and apparently everybody's getting hurt. Everybody. I hate injuries. I love that. I love, oh, geez, you know what? Can we just play this season with injuries off? Yes, injuries suck. I hate injuries. They are a fact, though. Alperen Şengün goes down. That one looked really bad. I don't know if you've seen the replay. But Şengün goes up, what, with the Souvlaki King, right, in the Sacramento-Houston game today. And the way he came down and just, like, the way that his, like, leg crumpled under him doesn't look good. It's one of those ones where, like, you've, like, fingers crossed, like, the best sort of outcome is, like, a hyperextension. But, ugh. Anyway, look, Houston were going nowhere, don't get me wrong, but Şengün was playing out his ass and having a great season, so that stinks. But that goes on top of Steph Curry hurting his ankle the other day, Wemby sitting out on the weekend, Ben Simmons' season being over, Karl Anthony Towns out for the next month at least. You've also got Benny Mathurin, Devin Booker's missed time, Jalen Johnson's missed time over the weekend, Giannis is dealing with his Achilles tendonitis, LeBron James set out a game or two. It's just that time of the year where it's like, oh, better take it easy, man, or we might get injured. And then a couple of dudes just do get injured. It's wear and tear. You've played like, what, 65 games or whatever each? Something like that. Where are we actually at it in terms of the totals? Yeah, it's about 63, right? 65, 63, 64. Just keep saying numbers, Jim. That'll work out. Good. Thanks. Right. And then in terms of other gear, that's about it. We've got not a giant amount of other news from this weekend. Beyond, I think, the fact that we had Ant-Man just highlight reel again, loving this. And AD today was pretty crazy. We also had Ty Lue come out and go, yeah, the schedule's a bit rooted, mate. What are we doing? I've got to sit Paul George and Kawhi against the Bucks because we've just played a million games in the go. And it's like, yeah, it's you're not too far wrong there. Right. Let's fly through some game wraps from the weekend, however, because there were some crackers. And if you go back to Friday's show, did not do great on the picking, I think, for Saturday. Yeah, it was pretty bad, man. Pretty bad. But we picked some pretty good ones head-to-head across Sunday and Monday. So to cast your mind back to Saturday in Australia, it was a big slate. The Pelicans took care of the Sixers 103-95. Zion was great again, 23-12-3 for him. Big win for the Pals. They're going to pop up again in a second when we do the big sort of weekend winners and losers and then go through the rankings. Well, not the rankings, the standings. The Wizards beat the Hornets. Yeah, they did. That's how bad the Hornets are right now. The Wolves and Cavs went to overtime for a 113-104 result. I don't know about you, but the wheels are off for the Wolves just a little bit. I was talking them up on Friday and then that happened. It's like, God damn. But I did, I believe, take the Cavs at the line. So the Knicks held the Magic to 74 points. It was an embarrassing. It's embarrassing and I'm ticked off.
This is disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's embarrassing. And I'm ticked off.
I really was watching that Magic team. They held them to 16 and 15 points in the second and third quarters. Just gross. Big turnaround. Good win for the Knickerbockers. The Hawks beat the Grizzlies. Okay, the Memphis Hustle, 99-92. DeJounte Murray had 41 on that one. The Heat lost to the Thunder in a cracking game, 107-100. SGA just dropped a lazy one. Was it 37? Not bad. The Lakers! Oh, yes. The Lakers! Got by the Bucks, 123-122. Despite Giannis's 34-14-12, not bad. D'Lo went off for 44 points, my least favorite player in the NBA. God, he was good. Credit where credit's due. I'm not a hater. I just shit talk. And the Rockets beat the Blazers 123-107. Jalen Green had 27 in that one. Delano Banton had 30. So cute. Good job. But the Blazers did cover. No, they didn't. They lost that one. They covered the next game. Then yesterday's games on Sunday, we had a raucous Clippers-Bulls game, 112-102. The Clippers won pretty handily. Paul George, very nice. They just stymied the crap out of the Bulls in the fourth quarter and just sort of ran away with it. You're like, oh, yep. There's the Chicago we all know and love. The Hornets beat the Nets. Oh, geez. On a back-to-back. And there you go. Cam Thomas had 31, but still. The Mavericks absolutely tanned the Pistons. 142-124. Luka, the sixth straight 30-point triple-double. I'm going to talk about that in a second. The Celtics outlasted the Suns in a really, really fun game. KD had 45, and they still came up very, very short. 117-107. It felt like for the Celtics, a little bit of playing with their food. And I think I'd tip Phoenix in this one. And I was feeling pretty okay about it at times because Beal was like cooking, but Grayson Allen had been on an absolute heat up, just completely fell apart and was 3 of 8. Oh, 4 from 3. Bol Bol has suddenly somehow turned into the Suns' like fourth best player when Grayson Allen doesn't fire. It's like, what is going on? Royce O'Neal can't hit the side of a barn. Grayson Allen couldn't in that game either, and it's like, okay, it's up to you, Bol Bol. He's like, oh, geez, not me. Prove me wrong, Bol Bol. Prove me wrong. What else do we have? We had a Spurs-Warriors game that was absolutely crazy. The Spurs beat the hell out of the Warriors without Wembanyama. Are the Spurs better without Wemby? No, but still, this is pretty crazy. 126-113. Big win for the Spurs out of nowhere. Big loss for the Warriors, which I'll talk about later. The Nuggets just absolutely manhandled the Jazz, 142-121. Keontae George is really good, though, the rookie for the Jazz. Just keep an eye on him. He is a weapon, 29-6. Jammer Jamal Murray threw in 37-7. And then the Blazers, not only big underdogs against the Raptors, they won this one outright, 128-118 in overtime. DeAndre Ayton dominating, 30-19. That's 30 points, 19 rebounds. Wouldn't read about it from the big Barbadian. Not bloody bad. And then today, the Bucks manhandled the Clippers without Paul George or Kawhi. Pelicans ran over the top of the Hawks, 116-103. Zion was good again. This is what you want to see from Zion. Just stay healthy for the next month, can you? Heat. They lost to the Wizards. Jimmy Butler misses the three at the end. And you're like, that usually goes in. Today it didn't. And you lost to the Wizards, question mark? That's going to pop up again later. The Pacers ran over the top of the Magic, 111-97. Did not like that. The Rockets beat the hell out of the Kings, 112-104, despite losing Şengün as well. They just stopped everybody apart from the Super Lucky King. It was crazy. And the Pacers, God, they just strangled the crap out of the Magic. Speaking of strangling the crap out of something, the Sixers and the Knicks, there was a punch on with Kelly Oubre and Dante DiVincenzo. And it felt like an absolute brick fight from the, early 1079-73. What is this, a Spurs-Pistons finals game? Jesus! The Nets beat the Cavs 120-101. What? Brooklyn. The Thunder absolutely demolish out of the Grizzlies, 124-93. No stresses there. G.G. Jackson in 30, which I love to see. And the Lakers. Beat the hell out of the Wolves, 120-109. Look, Ant-Man can sort of do what he does without Carl Anthony Towns to open up their offense. They are in struggle town. So with that in mind, let's do some NBA Australia weekend winners and losers.
Oh, my God. I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me?
There you go. That's right. Hey, weekend winners and losers. Let's do some winners. Patty Mills. Patty Thrills. I am wearing the Patty Mills jersey right now in honor of his awesome weekend opening up for the Heat. Love to see it. I did post the scoreline from his first game. 13 points in his debut. 7 in today's game as well. They have come both in losses, but it's not Patty's fault. He was plus 16 in game 1, plus 9 today. In his first two games, he scored 20 total points. He shot 8 of 14 from the floor and 4 of 8 from 3, which begs the question, what the hell are you doing, Atlanta? Get your head out your ass, Quinn Snyder. Seriously, the Heat just go, fucking Patty Mills is pretty good. Like, what are Atlanta doing? All right, fuck, they're waving him. All right, Patty, come over here. And he's like, all right, what's going on? Bang, off he goes. FIBA and Aussie legend Patty Mills crushing it. You love to see it. I'm wearing the Mills jersey right now. I've got the 88 on order. Exciting times. The Pelicans! They're weekend winners because they had two really good wins that I mentioned, right? Like, the way that they're sort of rolling at this point is wildly impressive. They're sort of just doing what they need to do, but then you sort of turn around and they've just kicked the crap out of another team. Like, today's win against Atlanta was exactly that, right? You have these weird teams like Atlanta where you're on the road. You're in Atlanta. It's a weird, hard-fought game, but you've gotten up at the half. That's the one where you sort of give up the ghost out of nowhere. Spindles Ingram couldn't hit anything. Trey Murphy comes out of nowhere, hits six threes in this game. Saves their ass. CJ's good. Zion's great. But amazing gear. And when you can sort of have one of those dudes like Trey Murphy or Najee Marshall just go absolutely ham from downtown, God, it makes a difference. They went 52% from three today and held off the Hawks. Big win. The Pelicans are sitting very, very pretty right now. Just saying, keep an eye on them. Keep a bloody eye on them. They look great. Like, even when they're bad, they're looking not as bad as they had, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? It's like that simple idea of, like, their worst has a tendency to be, like, one of the worst in the NBA. One of their best looks like one of the best. If you can just raise that worst up to, like, a half-decent, God, it makes a difference. So good job by the Pals. Philly, as mentioned, that rock fight. I mean, pulling out their wins out of their ass to stay in the top six, like, that's just massive right now. We'll talk about this in the standings breakdown. But Philly just going, oh, God, after that last loss, to turn around and get another win over a Knicks team that's now only one game ahead of them in the four spot. Like, Philly has a light at the end of the tunnel. Its name is Joel Embiid. The Knicks, their light at the tunnel is like Julius Randle, OG Anunoby. And in the meantime, they've sort of got to like try to keep putting this together. Every win from here is found gold for Philly, especially against teams in the top five. So that's a big one. I wanted to put the Bulls on here because, look, they lost to the Clippers, but they did beat the Warriors the other day. And I'm like, I like the cut of their jib. But it's very classic Bulls, right? You beat the Warriors, you've beaten the Jazz, you've beaten the Kings on the road, the final game of the road trip, and they just look pitiful against the Clippers. But it's like I just want to see them keep going. But the way they're playing, I just kind of want to throw them on the winners. Just, they nearly did it. But they didn't get over the line. The Lakers! They're weekend winners because D'Lo's 44 without LeBron was huge. Other winners, LeBron being sized up by Jeannie Buss and her mate. Jesus. Go watch the clip of that. Her mate's just like, oh, LeBron's got big muscles. Oh, jeez. I'm just not going to stop touching him. It was very weird. Very weird. Didn't have, like, at all strange undertones. At all. No, it didn't. It really didn't. Anyway, what else did we have? We had some other winners. We had, obviously, I sort of hit on these guys earlier. But the way that the Mavs managed to like sort of just have Luka drop another awesome triple-double, another 30-plus triple-double, they're still in eight because of that silly swoon that they had, but they've won their last two. Luka has sort of come out and gone, yeah, 30-point triple-doubles are good and all, but not if we don't win. And you're like, you know what? He's right. Denver keep on cruising and keep on crushing teams. It's like they've just sort of gone, yeah, we're in a bit of a fight for this whole Western Conference thing, so I guess we better be good. And that's terrifying if you're another team. It's like, Jesus, they're actually going to try? We didn't bank on this. And, yeah, that's about it in terms of the weekend winners because – there were some weird ones, like Boston bouncing back to beat the Suns was a really good win. Same with the Bucks to go out there and beat the Clippers, but they didn't have like their dudes, and it felt like the Suns-Celtics. That game was pretty interesting where KD sort of emptied the clip, and Boston were like, ah, it's cute. But Boston sort of firing on all cylinders is not a surprise. Phoenix, without Booker, it's like, what are they, you know? A bit of a weird one. All right, let's do some losers.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser.
Loser. Losers. We got plenty of weekend losers. The Heat. the Heat. Oh, but Jim, you just said they were winners. No, I said Patty Mills is a winner. This is just a masterful display of misdirection by your mate Jim here. They dropped their two games on the weekend, right? Now, 35 and 29, they've lost three on the trot. They've just lost to the Wizards, the Thunder, and the Mavs. The division would be done if next on this list of actually, you know, if they weren't also sucking right now. But really, to lose to Washington is an automatic on this list kind of vibe. Looking at you as well, Charlotte. But the toughest part for the Heat is they have the Nuggets next. So it's not going to get any easier anytime next. But then they have two Pistons games. The Pistons have played this Heat team very tough, so it's going to get very weird very quickly. But this is a bad swoon at a bad time for the Heat. I just wanted to say that because now they're in eighth. We'll talk about this in the standings breakdown. They're pretty safe there. Like, you're not going to drop down to nine. But as long as you got the double chance, I guess that's fine in the plan, but I'd rather be at home. But even then, I'd rather just be in the sixth seed than the seven or eight. So, Heat, what are you doing? You've got Patty Mills now, though. You should be winners. He's doing as much as he can. But the rest of you are sucking. Same goes for Orlando. That was the team that was next on this list. Seriously, the Southeast Division would basically be over all over Red Rover if they hadn't lost two straight games as well. The Pacers game in particular was pretty bad. But obviously, they ground to a halt and scored a whopping 74 points in the year 2024 against the Knicks the other day. An undermanned Knicks that only just drags people into rock fights apparently now. It's like that, you know. It's basically, the Knicks are now essentially like the movie The Warriors, where they're just like different, they're a gang chasing down different gangs and like beating them to death, but metaphorically in basketball. But for me, like Orlando is the most disappointing aspect because this is why you pull the trigger on a trade for an actual goddamn point guard, right? Oh, we've got injuries. We don't have Markel Fultz and like Suggs and stuff. Don't care. You had a chance to upgrade your team. You're Orlando. Like, there's a skerrick of hope right there, right now in this Eastern Conference. If you have that steadying veteran point guard, say like Malcolm Brogdon, I know that he's injured, but like the idea that you've got the Fultz, Cole Anthony, whatever Anthony Black is, Suggs as like a sort of hybrid guard, like, it doesn't fill you with confidence, and this is why they should have like had a bit of a crack at somebody like Brogdon and like any number of like other, you know, steadying-ish, the Monty Morrises of the world, stuff like that. He's not doing much in Denver, but geez, like even Tyus Jones or something from the Wiz, right? Just something, just to get you organized. Patty Mills, obviously. And the thing is, like, Orlando are going to be okay. They had a five-game win streak. It came to a grinding halt with these two losses. But they needed the setting presence. They didn't have it in these games. They've got four very winnable games up next, though. They have the Nets, two versus the Raptors, and then Charlotte. But color me worried about the Magic. Just as games like this where you're like, Paolo, Franz, you've got Wendell. The guard play sucks, but you should almost still have too much. The Wolves are also losers. Karl-Anthony Towns, he's out. He's done. And then two losses over the weekend after Ant-Man's heroics. And boom, they sort of look around and go, hang on a second, we're third in the West? What the hell, man? What the hell? But the way they just got sort of like eaten up by the Lakers, you're like, oh, that's bad for the playoffs. Jeez. Because if they land in like maybe they fight and scrap and like somehow land in the two seed or something, or the Lakers sneak up to the six seed, we'll get into that in a second. It feels like it'd go very badly for the Wolves very quickly. Yeesh. But, like, the cries of too thin, too bad, they don't do it, this team doesn't make sense. That's only going to get louder until Ant-Man just goes, righto, 40 points a night, on my back, boys, we're winning this goddamn thing. And until that happens, it's a bit worrisome. The Warriors are weekend losers. This is easy. It's because they lost to the Wembanyama-less Spurs after losing to the Bulls as well. No Steph in the moment. You've still got like a half-decent team though. And that's the weirdest part when they drop a game like this. You're like, you've still got Clay, you've still got Draymond, you've still got Cumbucket, and you're just replacing Steph Curry in the starting lineup with Chris bloody Paul. What are you doing here? How do you look so bad so quickly? It's like, well, we just sort of forgot how to play defense and they hit 17 to 33 threes. It's like, yeah, come on, Steve Kerr. Maybe Steve Kerr was weirded out because they had that weird doppelganger of him in the fan who was sitting in the audience who just looked exactly like Steve Kerr. What is it with the Warriors and having dudes who look exactly like dudes on that team? It's weird. I don't know if you've seen the photo floating around of Steph Curry. It's like, Steph Curry, you got some splaining to do. You've obviously got fake Clay. Now you've got fake Steve Kerr. There's about 87 dudes who look like Draymond as well. It's just weird. What are you doing out there, Golden State? Anyway, Cleveland's, oh geez, Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Yeah, you lose to Cam Thomas and a team that's already spiritually checking into their hotels in the Dominican Republic. You are a weekend loser. Like, I don't care that you won a game. To lose to that Nets game, that Nets team is just abysmal. Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Get your shit together. This team is just, like, so weird. They beat the Wolves and then turn around and lose to the Nets by a lot. Garland and Allen, I don't know, man. It's just not as effective as a combination as Donnie Mitchell and Allen, which is strange. The Nets! Oh, but Jim, they just had a win. Yeah, but they also lost to Charlotte. Again, that automatically puts you on the list because Charlotte just lost to Washington. It's the shit avalanche. Like, whoever's below that, away you go. The Nets are just horrible to watch. Sacramento! Yeah, if you ever want us to take you seriously, Sacramento, you can't lose to a Houston team that had won 7 total games on the road this season. 7! It's now 8 because you suck. You can't fire the laser if you lose. And all I want to do is fire the laser. Indy! That's right, the Pacers. This one's obvious. They lose Benny Mathurin. They did get a win. They're 36-29. But losing Benny Mathurin is... like, so they beat Orlando. Orlando were on this list earlier. The way they ran over them in the second half was crazy. The Pacers just upped the ante and away they went. But to lose Mathurin, he's like 15-plus points off the bench, is pretty hard because it's like... oh, God, this becomes a lot more Ben Shepherd very quickly and Andrew Nembhard. Like, Naismith has been really, really good at times. And away we go. But they could feel very thin very, very quickly. Just keep an eye out on that for the Pacers. And the Wizards, they've won 2 in a row. This team is so dysfunctional. Again, they can't tank right. Yes, it's the same percentage for the bottom 4, but still. What are you doing? All right, we'll take a... well, no, we're going to do the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Weekend.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's going to go to D'Lo. The 44 on Saturday was pretty bloody good. God, he was good. They needed every single ounce of that as well to get past this Bucks team. But then AD today as well. They've just gotten 2 huge games from the other guys on that Lakers team, not named LeBron. AD had 27, 25, 7 steals, 5 assists and 3 blocks. That's never been done before in the NBA. That's pretty bloody good. My question is, can you just do this all the time, Anthony Davis? Like, LeBron played in this one and was good. And you beat the Wolves. And you had to. Because it's going to get very squirrely very quickly in this old Western Conference. But at the same time, you just tore up, like, Naz Reid. Like, they didn't ever even have Rudy Gobert, Zistavo Tower in this one. It's like, Luka Garza played 10 minutes. You should have 27 points and 25 rebounds and 7 steals and 3 blocks and 5 assists. Like, LeBron had 29-8-9, and it was almost overshadowed. Well, yeah, it was overshadowed, but still. And then Luka. I mean, 6 straight 30-point triple doubles is just fucking silly. What are we doing here? Unbelievable. The best part is they've won the last 2 games. So keep doing that, Mavs, and you're laughing. And then finally, Spud of the Weekend.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Pressed the wrong button there, Jim. Yes, I did. Big Dick Bay, Keegan Murray, thank you for On the Weekend. Dream of juice. Have you ever made out in the dark hallway? That's right. They shot 311. Thank you very much, gentlemen. They were the only ones to shoot 311 this entire weekend. But Big Dick Bay is a spud of the weekend. He went 311 in that game, but he shot 1-12 in the other game. And of course, that brings me to, we're just going to have to play it again because in the United States of America, you know how they do their weird backwards ass month first, day second, then the year because they're all fucked in their head? Well, you know what day it is today? Woo! It's 311 day, baby!
Chill, right on the side is my ego becomes
juice.
Have you ever made out in the dark hallway?
This place exists, I made the day. Say, play the track from your record collection. It's your mix.
Congratulations. And a lot of dance songs.
Yeah, 311 day. We'll be right back after this with a standings breakdown.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadeet.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
And you're listening
to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, this will be it for today. We're just going to do the standings breakdown, and then we'll do the game previews for tomorrow, and that'll be it. And then we'll sort of be back to the regular programming tomorrow. I just wanted to go through, because we've got, as I mentioned, right, we're basically three quarters of the way through. We're at 60-odd games, so there's probably 20 games-ish left for everybody. And I just sort of want to take stock of what's going on, where everybody's at, what our thoughts and hopes and dreams are for some of these teams the rest of the way. Because it's going to get pretty squirrely pretty quickly. Because like you look at someone like Phoenix, they've got the toughest strength of schedule left, and they're in sixth, but they're only a half game up in Sacramento. It's like stuff like that. It's like, all right, where do we land? So let's start in the East. Obviously, the Celtics, best team in the NBA. Very simple. They've also got the easiest remaining schedule, which seems unfair. They got a couple of games against Detroit, a couple of games against the Wizards, and you're like, and a couple of games against Charlotte. You're like, how did they get their their schedule, where they're already 49-14? They've still got six games against like those horrible teams in the East, and two games against the Blazers. So you think about that. That's eight games against four of the five worst teams in the NBA. The Celtics are your overall one seed. Simple as that. They have eight games up on the Bucks. Lock it in, Eddie. We're done. Speaking of which, Milwaukee, the Bucks. Now, good win against the Clippers. The Lakers' loss was pretty tough. They let D'Lo go off, and that's going to be an ongoing worry for the Bucks, isn't it? Speedy, well, not really speedy. D'Lo's not exactly speedy, but a guard who can torture, you've got Dame. You're like, oh, God. Just brought a knife to a gunfight. Hey, Dame, can you outscore that guy over there? He's like, oh, I'll bloody well try. Anyway, the Bucks, look, they're sort of sitting in a weird sort of spot where they've got a pretty tough strength of schedule where they have to play the Celtics a couple of times still. They've got a game against, two games still to go against OKC. Stuff like that. You're like, oof. So they've got the fourth toughest schedule remaining. They're 42-23. They're eight games back of the Celtics. They're in basically a bit of a fight with the Cavs. That's right, Cleveland in the three spot.
Cleveland!
Who are only a half game back of them at 41-23. The Cavs aren't playing very well at the moment, though. Without Donny Mitchell, they've sort of gone with the Garland-Allen vibe. Mobley is missing. Mitchell's out. I could have added them, actually. Forgot about them on the at the top of the show to talk about the injuries. But Cleveland, at least, can fall back on the simple idea that, like, they do have a fair amount of, like, handy, easy sort of spots where they play, especially Charlotte, three more times, right? So they got the 13th toughest schedule, but that's basically, in their 18 remaining games, it's not crazy hard, and you'd expect them to win some of them because they're still four games ahead of the Knicks. So it feels like the Cavs and the Bucks are in the 2-3 pretty solidly. And then you got the Knickerbockers, only a half game ahead of the Magic, and they're only a half game ahead of the Sixers. They're only a half game of the ahead of the Pacers, and they're only a half game ahead of the Heat. This is where the East gets chaos between 4 and 8. So the Knicks at 37-27. It's a bit tough. They've got a game against the Celtics still to come, one against the Thunder, one against the Nuggets, one against the Bucks, once against the Sixers, and two against Sacramento. OG, Randall, when do they come back? We don't know, but we've seen their defense just kick up a notch. I think they should stick in the top six, no worries, even if they're still only a game up on the Sixers, and we saw the Sixers beat them. But 37-27, if they can stick in the four spot, if they can just fight, scrap, claw anyway, you know that Tibbs is going to go absolutely hammer and tongs to do so. Wouldn't surprise me if they stick in the top six. Orlando at 37-28. They've got a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. The 24th easiest. Well, yeah, the 24th hardest, right? So pretty easy. 37-28. Those two losses, I mentioned though, they've got four pretty easy games coming up. The Magic should be going all out for that four spot at 37-28, only half game back in the Knicks. And then behind them, the Sixers, 36-28. They've actually got a pretty wild run where they're like middle of the pack. They've still got to play the Clippers twice in a Doc Bowl. Even though Doc now coaches the Bucks, it's still always fun to have a two former teams connected like that. They've got games against the Knicks, the Suns, the Cavs, the Thunder. So they're pretty much in the middle, and they're all just hanging on Embiid to come back, right? If they can just sort of go 500 the rest of the way and try just to like keep the paces and the heat off their back, it feels like, though, they might hit like a bit of a tipping point and just sort of might get a little bit too squirrely. You know, you'd like them to have a couple of easier wins. The Pacers are right there as well, 36-29. The Heat, 35-29. Indy, look, the lack of defense that they play, but they can just go into any situation and just run and gun, right? Like, that's their raison d'etre. So off they go, 36-29. Still averaging 123 points a game, the most in the NBA, which is just ridiculous. Losing Benny Mathurin hurts. I expect them to take a little bit of a dip. Wouldn't be a big surprise to me if the 6-7-8, which is the Sixers, Pacers, and Heat, stays that sort of way in some order. Because the Heat, 35-29. Point differential of 0.06. Or 0.6. They've lost those three on the trot. Got a tough Denver game coming up. They do have Patty Mills. I would not be surprised if the Heat jump up into the sixth spot and the Pacers and the Sixers land in 7-8. It just sort of feels like the Heat will manufacture enough stuff. And they have the second easiest schedule remaining. So I think the Heat will be okay. Then you got the Bulls locked in, basically into the 9 or 10. They're four games back of the Heat, the 31-33. They just love playing 500 ball, but they don't get up to 500. They're just two games back the entire time. The loss to the Clippers sucked. But the Hawks, they're 29-35. They're trying to hold off the Nets, who are 3.5 games back in 26-39. It should be the Bulls and the Hawks in the 9-10. And then who knows who actually wins that game? It's going to be brutal to watch it. Like, Adam Silver's like, God damn it. What is going on in this East? I've got to fix it. And then under that, yeah, the Nets obviously in the 11th spot. The rest of it, pack her up, boys, you're done. The Raps are 6.5 games behind the Hawks out of 10. And then everybody else is the worst. Charlotte, 16-48. They are sitting there going, all right, can we stop winning games, please? Because Portland have got 18 wins already, 18-45. Charlotte just need to put the pool cue in the rack a little bit more and hope that, like, even the Spurs start, like, who've got 14 wins, just kind of keep winning despite themselves. Either way, Washington, 11-53. They've won two on the trot to jump ahead of the Detroit Pistons for not the worst record, which is a big win for the Wizards. Detroit are like, great, we're going to add Alexander Saar to, like, Kay Cunningham, Jalen Duren, and Jaden Ivey. Brutal. Out west, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, OKC have a pretty... like, they've got the ninth toughest schedule remaining. They've got a game against the Celtics, two against the Bucks. Not too many easy wins in there. Doesn't seem to matter for OKC. They're 45-19 and on top of the West. They've won three on the trot. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They are cruising. They've just got to hold off the Denver Nuggets, who are only a game back, right? 44-20 for Denver. We know how good they are at home. They're 26-6. But the cool thing is OKC is 26-6 at home. You just have to wonder if, like, OKC, do they let their focus waver down the stretch? The Nuggets know what they have to do. They know that they'll want the one seed just so that they have home court the entire time in the Western Conference playoffs. I think the Thunder probably have a couple of weird, screwy games down the stretch, and Denver just sort of eke out the one seed. Because Minnesota, they're 1.5 games back of the Thunder, but without Cat, they've lost two on the trot. They've only gone 5-5 in the last 10 anyway, 44-21 overall. The shine's off a little bit. They still have like a little bit of like action there with Ant-Man, obviously, but Minnesota's like run home. It's dead middle in terms of strength of schedule. They've still got games. They've got three games against Denver, which will basically decide the 2-3. And it wouldn't surprise me if Denver just smoke them the rest of the way, right? That's how it's going to go. Denver are just too tough. So I think that'll basically decide the 2-3. You've got the Clippers two games back of the three spot. They're in four. They're 41-22. 3.5 games behind the Thunder. Two games behind the Wolves. The Clippers might catch the Wolves as well. If they sort of go hammer and tongs and just go, right, don't care, bro, here we go. And then the Pelicans are starting to make things a little bit more interesting in terms of the top four, because they've won those four on the trot. The Pelicans, though, do have the eighth toughest schedule remaining. They've got a couple of games against the Suns, which will be clinch, like absolute key stuff, because the Suns are in six at 37 and 27. So they're two games back of the Pels at 39 and 25. So if the Pelicans, they're going to be going all out to try to get the four spot, because they're just like, I'd rather have home court than not, especially if they play the Wolves or somebody. So, or rather, they wouldn't play the Wolves. If they have to play like the Clippers, or if the Wolves slip all the way down, I don't know, but that'd be a long way. Like, they have to hope that the Clippers take a little bit of a dip, because they're only 2.5 games back of them. But the Pals just need to keep winning. Win the games in front of you. Let that all sort of shake out. The Suns are two games back of them. And as mentioned, the Suns have the toughest schedule remaining. They've got two games against the Wolves, two games against the Clippers, a game against Denver, a game against OKC, a game against Boston. And it's going to get pretty tough very quickly, I think, for Phoenix with that Devin Booker. The Kings are a half game back of the Suns, 36 and 27. They had a couple of nice little wins there, then they dropped this stupid one to the Houston Rockets today. The key thing for me is the Kings, they're a half game back of the Suns. Do we really see them reeling in the Suns? Can they do it? Or do they themselves get reeled in by the Lakers, who are only a game behind them? But in between, there's obviously Dallas. They've won two on the trot. They're 36 and 28, so it's only a half game back of the Kings in the 7-8 spot. Dallas will be trying desperately to get into the designated top six, obviously. I don't think Dallas want any bar of the play-in. They should feel pretty confident about the play-in. Like, any one game, and you've got Kyrie and Luka just going off, watch out. But at the same time, you'd rather be in the sixth spot already, right? So they're one game behind the Suns, a half game behind the Kings in the 7, and they're in 8 at 36 and 28. The points per game is up to 119. That is the second best in the West. Not bad. Their defense, however, is giving up 118 points a game, which is, not great, bro. It's basically them and the Jazz and the Spurs that are that bad. Then you've got the two at the bottom, the 9-10. That's the Lakers and the Warriors. The Lakers have won two on the trot now. They're 36 and 30. They're one game back of Dallas in the 8. The Lakers would desperately love the double chance. The Lakers would obviously also love to keep winning and pull back those two games over Phoenix in the sixth spot. And the Lakers, they've got the 17th toughest remaining schedule. Dallas has got the 21st. Sacramento has the 7th. So it does sort of feel like Sacramento might have the biggest uphill battle to stay where they are and stay in that play-in spot, 7-8. It feels like they could drop down to 9. The Warriors, they're 1.5 games back of the Lakers now, having lost their last two games. Steph sitting out is a bit of a hard one, obviously. But in terms of like the games that they've got remaining, they've got the 23rd hardest. So it's pretty easy, the remaining schedule. They don't have too many big games left, so they should be okay. And then beyond that, you've got the Rockets, 29 and 35 and 11. Basically done, right? They're 4.5 games back of the Warriors, and the Jazz at 28 and 36. They've lost two on the trot. They've looked very bad the last 10 games. That is definitely a team that's gone. Oh, yeah, we should stop winning. What are we doing? Grizzlies, 22 and 43. They try. God bless their cotton socks. The Memphis Hustle do try. Then you got the Blazers at 18 and 45, who just randomly win games. You're like, what are you doing? They're like, we don't know. The Spurs are 14 and 50 and won a game without Wemby, so it makes no bloody sense. So how's it all shake out, Jim? I think in the East, we end up with Boston. I think the Bucks stay in number two as well. I just think their defense is going to be the better sort of differentiation between them and the Cavs. Cleveland at 3. Then in the 4, I think the Magic, with the aid of the very easy schedule the rest of the way, end up in the 4 spot. I think the Knicks still land in 5. That's a horrible matchup for the Knicks and Magic opening round. In 6, I think the Heat sneak into there, and then we have the Sixers and the Pacers, 7-8, and Chicago, Atlanta, 9-10. And in the West, I think we get Denver, OKC, 1-2. I think the Clippers might pull back on the Wolves as well. So we get Clippers in 3, Wolves at 4, Pelicans, 5. I think the Lakers make the 6. I think the Lakers get all the way up to 6, Dallas in 7, Sacramento, 8. And then that leaves the Suns in 9 against the Warriors, which would be hilarious. And there we go. All right, let's do a quick game day Footballer Game Day Twitter check-in for Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills, and then we'll look at the games for tomorrow and then get out of here. All right, Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills. There you go, Bullet Pat. Oh, that's Rock'em, Jock'em, Block'em, Sock'em, Lander. Oh, just knocking in a three against the Kings. We'll do the Australian Player Watch tomorrow as well. Don't worry about that. Should be good. Lander, through contact. You also had a pretty good game today. I'll tell you that much. All right, let's go to Paddy Mills. Oh, there we go. Paddy's first heat bucket. Oh, yeah, he knocks in that three against the Thunder and Josh Giddey very nicely. Love Paddy Mills. Loving that vibe. All right. Tomorrow's games. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inverton Bain.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going? This is a surprise show.
Yeah, tell me about it. But I actually don't mind just like taking it a bit easy and just, you know, running through sort of winners and losers and then going through the standings and sort of see where we're at. Tomorrow we have Charlotte at Detroit. Detroit should win that one. They're 3.5-point favorites. I'll take the Detroit Basketball Pistons over the Hornets, especially at home. Detroit, we've had these moments of late where you're like, man, not bad. Phoenix go to Cleveland. I think the Suns should be too good on the road against Cleveland. They're 5.5-point favorites, which is a tough one. It's a bigger number than you'd like. But Cleveland have just looked so up and down in that loss to the Nets. I mean, the Suns should beat them pretty handily. You've got Warriors-Spurs, a rematch. Spurs beat them the other day. This one's in San Antonio. Can the Warriors step up? 5.5-point favorites on the road are the Golden State Warriors. I think they can do that, especially if Steph's back, but I don't know what's going to happen there. But look, let's have a look and see if there's any news about Steph, because if he plays, it's obviously worth the 5.5. But if he's not, it felt like he was out for, I'll tell you what, it's like he was out for like at least 2 games, wasn't it? So see what happens. Yes, good job, everybody, for not just saying what his injury is. Breaking my heart. Right. Injury update. Yep. No structural damage. He was reevaluated again on Tuesday. I reckon he doesn't play. So I might actually take the Spurs +5.5 in that one as again, just because they played them so well the other day and the Warriors are just looking a little bit wonky without him. We've got the Mavs and the Bulls. Jeez, this game is going to be brutal. It's like a gym bowl. It's actually the Chris Anstey bowl, though, isn't it? Big fella played for both of them. I'm going to go the Mavs -4.5. The way they've looked the last couple of games, very, very dangerous. And the Bulls' defense is so waxing and waning at times. You're like, dude, what are you going to do? Giving the Mavs -4.5 in Chicago. The Raptors go to Denver. 13.5-point underdogs. Let's go the Raptors to put up a little bit of a fight. The Nuggets have been smashing teams. They did play today, though, on a back-to-back at home. It's probably just a few too many points. I'd feel a lot better if, like, Denver was 9.5, but 13.5, you're just sort of opening yourself to, like, a bit of a late Raptors run. Emmanuel quickly gets hot or something. And then you got the Celtics Blazers up there in Portland. Should be a really strange match. I think this is the sort of weird game that Boston just go, oh, we'll take it a bit easy, and Portland make them fight. Let's go Blazers +7.5. Actually, no, Portland don't really, yeah, they can get killed by good teams. Let's go Boston -7.5. Portland, when they play not very good teams, I'm loving them against the spread. Against good teams, a little bit more squirrely. But there you go. That's it for today. An extremely special edition of NBA Straya. That was very fun. Don't mind this one. Remember, you can see me and the boys on AFL Today. That's right. You can go check out that AFL Today show. That's now on the podcast apps. It's on YouTube. Subscribe to both. Like, star it, review it. Go, geez, Jim doesn't know his ass from his elbow when it comes to footy. I do, but still, you can have a crack at me. I don't really mind. I'm thick-skinned enough. Did I just say thin-skinned? I'm thick-skinned enough. You got to be when you're a ginger. But we'll be back with NBA Australia tomorrow. We have the AFL Today show up now. You can also listen to me, obviously, in the AFL Supercoach official podcast. Good times there. But make sure you're following AFL Today show across Twitter, Facey, IG, as well as NBA Australia, as well as the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. It's the entire thing. So help us out, would you? NFL Australia, of course, and me and Gaz. So check a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on your Android phone. It really does help out heaps. So please do it. It'd be muchos apreciado. What else have we got? We've got NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch, get your merch, get your merch. And A big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Those guys rule. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green, and Dozers as well. For all the tunes you hear throughout the show, smash them on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia Sports Australian band, so should you. All right, it's a really late one today, so I'm going to bounce. We'll do a deli review on tomorrow's show. But we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. We're doing it in the office, which is always fun. Love the good studio. Have you watched the YouTubes of that one yet? I'm up there standing, running around, ranting and raving. It's great. Either way, we'll see you then. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosanna!